Chaiva Narottamam.
Aham Chaiva Narottamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Tato Jayam Udirayat.
Tato Jayam Udirayat.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shakti Bhava. This is text number 9. Okay, Canto 1. Chapter 5, Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam, and text number 9. Yata dama dayascharta.
Yata dama dayascharta.
Munivaryanukirtitaha.
Munivaryanukirtitaha.
Natata vasudevasya.
Natata vasudevasya.
Mahimahi anu varnitaha.
Mahimahi anu varnitaha.
Boliye.
Yata dharma dayascharta.
Yata dharma dayascharta.
Tatha
vasudevasya
mahima
hyanu varnita.
Yatha
dharma dayascharta.
Muni
varyanu kirtita. Tatavasudevasya mahima anubarnitaha.
Yathadharmadayascharta munivaryanukirtita.
Munivaryanukirtita.
Tatavasudevasya
tatavasudevasya
mahimahyanubarnita.
Ladies?
Yatha dharma dayascharta.
Muni
varyanukirtita.
Natata
vasudevasya. Mahimahi anuvartita.
Yatha dharma dayascharta.
Muni varyanukirtita.
Natata
vasudevasya.
Mahimahi anuvartita.
Yata,
yata,
as much as,
as much as,
dharma,
dharma,
adayaha,
adayaha,
all four principles of religious behavior,
all four principles of religious behavior,
cha,
and,
artaha,
artaha,
purposes,
munivarya, munivarya,
by yourself.
By yourself.
The great sage.
The great sage.
Vyasa.
Vyasa.
Anukirtitaha.
Anukirtitaha.
Repeatedly described.
Repeatedly described.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Not.
Tata.
Tata.
In that way.
In that way.
Vasudevasya.
Vasudevasya.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Of the personality of Godhead.
Sri Krishna.
Sri Krishna.
Mahima,
mahima,
glories,
glories.
He,
certainly,
anuvarnitaha,
anuvarnitaha,
so constantly described,
so constantly
described. Yatha dharma dayascharta munivaryanukirtitaha, natatha vasudevasya mahima hi anuvarnitaha. Although, great sage, you have very broadly described the four principles beginning with religious performances, you have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's start there. We can start before that with world classical literature, the best books in the world, right? It's kind of a fundamental thing. What are some of the best books in the world? Name seven. What is your name, Prabhu?
Achala Krishnadas. Huh? Achala Krishnadas.
Wow, that's a nice name. Achala.
Harry Potter.
Huh?
Harry Potter.
Harry book. Potter, well, okay. Yeah. But some.
Bible.
Bible and Harry Potter. Okay, we got that.
Moby Dick.
Huh?
Moby Dick.
Moby Dick, okay. Hey. Yes. Who's it by?
I don't know.
Herman Melville, right? Something like that, yeah. Yeah. Okay. He actually quotes from the, Paradise Lost. And Prabhupada also says, if you want to understand how the soul falls down in spiritual world, you can read Paradise Lost by Milton. So, the devil decides to declare war on God. You know, why not? He's one of the archangels. And so he and his followers, they attack the throne of God. And all the good angels, Michael, Gabriel, Uriel, you know, they're all protecting it. But they're kind of backing off because Satan's the most powerful. So the first day, Satan's victorious. The second day, God starts using the blue lightning like that. You know, it's kind of like Walmart, Kmart with the blue light there. You know? So Satan didn't know about the blue lightning. So he starts getting smashed. And finally, they're chased off the edge of heaven. And they fall down, 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 like that. And it's like grains of sand, all their chariots, mammon, Beelzebub, you know. Finally smashed down in hell, just burning sulfur and all this kind of stuff. You know, kind of like Brisbane, that's a miserable place. And everybody's just lying there, suffering, can't even move. But finally Satan, he's so powerful that just by his will, he stands up. And he's like this pretty big, you know, black figure with wings, with the burning sulfur and the smoke everywhere. And Milton says the biggest Norwegian pine would have just been a matchstick in his hand, like that. It's a guy big. Here, take a book, sir, like that. Yeah. So he starts calling his followers, Mammon, Beelzebub. They all come out, and then they're standing on the solid ground there, and they build an assembly house called Pandemonium, right? And it's, the ground is so hot, you had to shift from one foot to the other. It's a very unpleasant place. So they have a big discussion about what happened, everything else. And they realize all we got to do is just say to God, like, hey, you know, we had a bad day. Forgive us, you know. It's okay. Come on back to heaven. You know, it's a good place, nice place. Yeah. But finally, the conclusion is, this is the line that Jack London quotes in The Seawolf, which is different than Moby Dick. Okay, anyway. And he says there, Satan says, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. Now, if you're a grihastha and you want to make easy money, you can make up these bumper stickers like that, and people will buy them like anything. Just put it right on there, you know. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. Okay, switch there. That's it. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven, right? That's the fundamental principle of the material world, right? Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. You're walking to the sannyas ashram from the temple in Houston, a little pathway. And the neighbors had this sign there that said, a big sign that said, beware of dog. So here's another bumper sticker you can make. You know? It'll say, forget the goddamn dog, beware of God. Like that. It'll sell, right? Got a whole business here, right? Yeah. A few more of those, and people buying like anything. Yeah. So anyway, this is, you know, world classical literature, the Quran, the Bible, the Analectics of Confucius, Lao Tzu, what was it, Tao Te Ching, what else we got, you know, Solomon, Shakespeare, Cervantes, right? Have you read Don Quixote in Spanish? It's difficult, huh? It's really old Spanish, yeah. If you have this thing on the Abbey surveys, you can look on the internet, the top 50 books in the world. And Don Quixote always comes out in the top 10 and sometimes the very first, like that. But getting a good translation is difficult. Yeah. Very good book. Okay. And now recently the Mahabharata's coming in like that. You're kind of stuck here. Doesn't matter if you've got iron fingers or not, I don't know, do much. You've got a better idea here. If you're an engineer,
yes.
You want to reduce the cantilever.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. There we go. Cantilever reduced. And probably what you've got to do is you've got to replace the gasket inside there. Yeah, that way it'll grip more. Engineering.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I do.
So, classical literature. So the Mahabharata is starting to become known by people. We did a program in Chile, and we did Hamlet and Arjuna for several years. It was very successful. I got kind of bored doing it. And the comparison between Hamlet and Arjuna is not superficial. You can really a lot of depth and a lot of profundity about why they're, you know, such classical literatures. So funny, last year they said, well, you've got to do it again. Everybody wants it. And then we did it with the National Library in Santiago, ahead of Chile. And they've had two Nobel laureates there in literature. And beautiful auditorium with like marble and very nice wood. It was packed full. It was filled up. The head of the cultural, part of the best channel of television was there. And then we were presenting along with Raul Zurita, who's a national poet laureate there, guy. He's about 80 years old. And when he's looking at you, you kind of have the impression anything you can do won't take up more than about 30% of his intelligence. This guy's like looking at you. He's more intelligent than I am. But we met him before and we talked. He's a very cordial person. And he said, actually, of all the books I've read in the world so far, the Mahabharata was the most enchanting, like that, so on, you know. So we gave him a copy of Peter Brooks's Mahabharata, the video, and he liked that. So this time they invited him to come and participate in the program. He said, yeah, but I just want to listen. They said, well, you've got to present something to. Okay, so he was the chief guest. Very beautiful cultural program to start with. Kirtan, lecture, Kirtan, Prasad. Okay, that's probably his formula. Kirtan,
lecture,
Kirtan, Prasad. Okay, very simple. So my experience, they haven't really seen better Indian musicians anywhere in India than they have there. Lalita Madhava's, studied twice there. And very sophisticated, beautiful program. Actually, I would have been happy, and everybody else would have been happy, if we'd just gone on for the 1 hour or 2 hours just for the music program. Okay. So I presented some comparisons, contrasts between the fundamental ideas about what is reality and what is karma and all these kind of things. And they're very deep. And of course, Shakespeare's language is very powerful, very potent. Prabhupada says you can teach Shakespeare in the Gurukula. Yeah. So, and then Raul made his comments like that. And he read some of his, it turned out, I didn't know this, he actually had translated Hamlet into Spanish. And it was not a good translation. We looked for a long time in Peru with Lakshman and stuff. We found some things and had to put it together for our short presentation. But he translated the whole thing. So I was looking at this audience when he was reading it, and I could catch a lot of it, but they were just like totally absorbed. Yeah, Baba in this and so on. So then we finished off. One devotee actually was from Russia. He did this incredible violin thing, folk song thing, violin. And everybody was so happy. They had two kinds of sweets and three kinds of savories outside. And everybody was asking more questions and taking books and everything else. So a very effective preaching program. You know? And from this, we meet these people and you can cultivate them for other programs. We didn't get into the National Library, first shot. It's been a series of steps like that and so on. So world classical literature. Okay, Radhika Raman Das, our good disciple, studied at Oxford, and they brought one Professor Narasimha Rao from Madras, University of Madras, emeritus professor, actually left his body now. And he was teaching Srimad Bhagavatam. He gave maybe a two-week seminar, and then five students, they study and write their papers on it for graduate work. So Radhika said one time he kind of pulled him aside and he said, Ravi, I've really started getting into the Bhagavatam in depth, and I have to say that I've read all the major Sanskrit literature and most of the minor literature. And he said, it's not like I'm being proud, I've been doing this for 50 years, and if I hadn't done it, it would be something strange, He says that the different Puranas are very brilliant. like stars in the sky. Very proud. We were the Puranas. Until the moon of Srimad Bhagavatam comes up. And then they say, oh, he's bigger than we are. Yeah. And he said, it's not an exaggeration. For the beauty of the poetry, for the depth of the philosophy, and for the sophistication of the grammar, Srimad Bhagavatam is in the class by itself. One of our professor friends from India gave me this. The guy was an atheist. He wasn't a vicious guy or anything, but he was an atheist. Everything's caused by evolution, all this kind of stuff. And by evolution, we get more and more sophisticated things. We get culture, we get art. And finally, he said this, India, the highest product of evolution is Srimad Bhagavatam. Jai Bhagavatam. I can go on for quite some time about the academic glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. But let's say that, amongst world classical literature, which guides people, probably you could make an argument that the greatest Chinese classic is, anybody know? Any cultured people here? What is the greatest Chinese classic? Analectics by Confucius, but Sun Wukong. I bet you didn't know that, did you? Sun Wukong. How many people know who Jackie Chan and Jet Li are? Okay. How many people saw Forbidden Kingdom with Jackie Chan and Jet Li? That movie? You should see it. It's a good movie. It's cool. It's nice. Yeah. That's all about this classic, this Chinese classic, Sun Wukong, Journey to the West, Monkey. And it's injected into the culture again and again and again and again, again and again. Just like James Bond is injected into American culture again and again. Who are we? You can think about it, but the real thing is here, these deep icons that stimulate you in smarana, contemplation, and so on. So, as Sun Wukong, Chinese classic, and this is what we, these classics and so on are what guide civilizations for thousands and thousands of years. Even in Peru, you have different bhavas and sentiments and feelings and so on. Everywhere this exists. Who are we? Actually, we did a big program in Peru in the National Library, and Hector Behar, associate of Che Guevara, he's killed a lot of people. They tried to kill him quite a bit. But now he's a big professor there. He's also a member of the United Nations Committee on World Poverty, Hunger. But he was going all through this, and what kind of are the iconographic basis of culture, of Peruvian identity? And he was pointing out that Peruvians didn't have bad icons, but they didn't have any really at all. Then he went through showing the kind of people that have been elected one after another. How many of the previous Peruvian presidents are in jail or have been in jail? I'm thinking about it. It's not a very attractive number. And I was watching the Peruvian devotees all kind of going like this as he was talking. It's a fact. He's Peruvian. So anyway, pointing out this is, we need these heroic epics. That's what we need in culture. Heroic epics, stories that just stimulate people just to go on thinking about them. When Krishna left Vrindavan, he wasn't neglecting the Brijbasis or anything else or not appreciating their devotion. He was giving them something better. He was taking away this inferior form and giving them Lila Smarana Swarup. He continued with his Vasudev form to Dwarka, and Balaram continued with his Shankarshan form. But he left behind his form. He was from his Lila Smarana Swarup. Smarana means to contemplate, meditate. Lila means pastimes. So we're thinking about these stories about Sun Wukong or these things. Prabhupada says they're not dead. They're actually the imagination when it's going there is not, not unreal. Jayananda said, the Prabhupada said, if you go on chanting Hare Krishna, you'll start to see pastimes you never read in any of my books. So it's there. It's a real world. And how to trust it, how to purify it, and enter into those pastimes and stuff. And also see them in the world around us. Everything that's happening is simply an expansion of Krishna's activities in Goloka, So if you got tuned into it, you can see how Krishna's carrying on his same activities. Bhaktivinoda Thakura was absorbed in that when he was doing his legal work. He was seeing, this woman's like a poor cow with her calf, and her husband's gone, and her horrible in-laws are trying to take everything from her, and she's like a, they're like wolves, and I'm like a cowherd boy. I'm going to protect her with Krishna. Haribol, like that, you know. Don't worry, Mataji, we're here to help you. Okay, yeah. Back off, you wolves. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, that's reality. That's reality, yeah. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedic literatures. And it, other Puranas discuss many things, but the Bhagavatam, right from the very clear, from the beginning, establishes what it's talking about. It's 18,000 verses, but right in the very beginning, maybe within the first, I don't know, 100 or something, is the verse, Etej Amsa Sakal Pum Sam Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam Yeah, so Jiva Goswami says this is the Paribhasa Sutra, the verse that everything hangs on, develops from. Ete chamsa sakal pumsam.
Ete chamsa sakal
pumsam.
Ete chamsa sakal pumsam.
Krishnas tu Bhagavan Swayam.
Krishnas tu Bhagavan Swayam.
Because he's giving a whole list of angsas and kalas, expansions of Krishna, expansions of expansions, Rishabdev, Narayan, Mahavishnu, Shiva, all these different expansions, expansions of expansions. And he lists Krishna, and he lists Buddha, you know. But then he goes back after that and says, all of these are different expansions or expansions of expansions of Swayam Bhagavan, the original Supreme Lord. But Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, you know, so very clear. So after that, the entire book is establishing that. It's showing different Purusha avatars, Leela avatars, Manvantars, Guna avatars, and finally in 10th canto coming to Krishna, who is Avatara, Avatari, like that, you know, Leela Purushottam. And of course, it's 90 chapters. So it's very clear what the Bhagavatam is trying to do. Other people, most of the Puranas don't have commentaries. The Bhagavad Purana has something like 140 major commentaries. Everybody tries to show, you know, the atheists who believe in evolution, that Bhagavatam supports their conclusion. Shankaracharya, the Mayavadis, they try and show that Bhagavatam shows that we are all Krishna. Like that, right? Yeah. How's it go? Akama. Sarvakama Bhava. Moshakama Udharani. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajate Purusham Puram. So I saw a Mayavadi translation and I was wondering, how is this guy going to translate the word Purusha? Right? Any rickshaw wallet in Calcutta stopping for his lunch, he goes to some simple, you know, midtime lunch thing and he says, what is the bathroom? There's two doors, Stri and Purush. It's like the word. Even some simple rickshaw wala in Calcutta knows what the word means. So how is this guy going to translate it? So he kind of translates it. Whether one has all desires or no desires or wants to be free from all desires, in every case, with a great vow of determination, he should worship the Supreme Person. You just can't get around it. So even Shankara, you know, God himself almost couldn't do it. So then these Mayavadi translations with a little bit of, you know, association with Prabhupada, they all become obviously stupid. And they're starting to fall off the market now. The Prabhupada's Bhagavatam is being so much distributed. More and more of these Mayavadi translations are just like, you know, retreating into the shadows. You know. So very potent, very powerful, very clear. And taking it, going through one by step, systematically. You know, Prabhupada was suggesting learn the Bhagavad Gita, those principles, A, B, C. You know, and then you'd start Bhagavatam. One should not dare to go beyond the first two cantos as long as he is still entangled in gross solicit sex. 2.2.12. Yeah. So it's progressive. And as you become free, you take initiation, you're controlling your senses in third canto. And third canto gets very intense. There's the marriage of Kardama and Devahuti. And it's, well, it's like PG 18. They can't, we'll discuss it here. Without parental guidance, unless you're over 18 years old. It's intense. They were having a good time. But they didn't break the four principles. Yeah, they didn't deviate from Dharma. But within that, okay, you know, pizza and green salad and minestrone soup and they had a bed, which you won't describe your bed. It's not available in the gift store, I don't think. But it was right there. It's like, wow. You know? So if you're not following the four principles, it's too much. It's just, you know. And the other side of the coin, besides this heavy gratification, is hell. And Kapila starts describing hell, that if you aren't following the four principles, first off, when they're dragging you to hell, all these dogs with iron-like teeth are ripping your flesh, and old envious women are torturing you. There's no water, you're beaten and stuff. And that's just the way to hell. That's where you get there. Yeah. So the Hare Krishna hell is worse than the Muslim hell. It's worse than the Christian hell. So we got, you know, it's like, I want to talk about this. The third canto just turns up the gas. Are you? How attached are you? Right? Yeah. It's the third canto pushes us to become more purified. Yeah. What is speaking of the fourth canto, fifth canto? Yeah. So by tenth canto, we've got to be like, you know, very purified. If you really want to enter into it. Of course, we can hear these things. Prabhupada gives classes, public classes in the fourth canto, fifth canto. But you see those classes, usually like in Bombay, maybe Prabhupada will give a class in the sixth canto or something. He'll read the verse, maybe his purport, and you're thinking, okay, now something really intense. But Prabhupada will go right into a Bhagavad Gita lecture, Atma, Paramatma, Prakriti and stuff. Because it's a public forum like that. So very nice in the first canto. It's a preface. Why is the book written? Under what circumstances? Who's hearing? Who's talking? First canto describes all this very clearly. Then the second canto, Sukadeva Goswami, who we know now, starts to preach to Maharaj Pariksit, who we know now, under very, very intense circumstances. Yeah? Everybody here was affected by a blast of radiation. Something broke open. Everybody here got radiation poisoning. And we're all going to die within 7 days. There's just no doubt about it. Everybody's going to get leukemia. Okay, so now your whole Bhagavatam class and everything else probably won't go to school anymore, right? You know, you're going to die in 7 days. Why should I go to school? You know, right? Amen?
Yeah.
You should go to the amusement park. Yeah, you should go to every Disneyland in the world. Okay, yeah. Run my credit card up like anything. Yeah. But what would you do? 7 days left. Maharaj Pariksit. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Yeah. Very intense situation. So second canto starts. You know. And then, Sutta to the Sages, he describes basically everything in the second chapter and answers all the questions. Many devotees memorize the entire second chapter. All of our philosophy is there. So complete. You know. And then the other question is about the incarnations. So chapter 3 finishes off with incarnations. And so he's answered all their questions like that. But they then say, well, okay, you said the conclusion is Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the answer to all of our questions. But wait a second, Vyasadeva already wrote the Puranas, the Mahabharata, all these things. Why did he go ahead and write something else? Oh, okay. So 4, 5, 6 describe how Vyasadeva got the impetus. And the impetus came from his meeting with? Narada Muni. Narada Muni, yeah. And so Narada Muni first off preaches to him. Tells him you're in Maya, just like Krishna told Arjuna, you're in Maya. You didn't preach directly, too indirectly. So now you should preach Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vyasa asks him, well, you know, can I ask you, how did you realize Srimad Bhagavatam? And Narada says, okay, because it'll be conducive for your self-realization. I'll tell you my history. So he's describing it, okay. He's also describing his faults here. Sorry, this is chapter 4. Next one will be, chapter 6 will be further. In conversations when he'll describe his life. So now he's talking about the basic problem. And the problem is he hasn't really described things clearly. He was a brahmachari doing book distribution and a dhoti and kurta out in the street, finally decided somehow or other, got married, opened a vegetarian restaurant, was preaching about animal rights, teaching hatha yoga, and feeling dissatisfied. So his guru came in, he offered him a seat and a smoothie, and then guru said, are you happy? You know, teaching animal rights and vegetarianism. You say, well, no, I think you know what the problem is. I think you know too. If you're not preaching directly. And to tell you that, do that, it's so indirect, people will never figure out what's going on. So that's the purport here. All the great sages, you have broadly described the four principles, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, beginning with Dharma. You have not described the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Prompt diagnosis of Srinarda, the prompt diagnosis of Srinarda is at once declared. The root cause of the despondency of Vasudeva was his deliberate avoidance of glorifying the Lord. In his various editions of the Puranas, he has certainly, as a matter of course, given descriptions of the glories of the Lord, Sri Krishna, but not as many as given to the religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and salvation. Everybody sends their kids to school, right? Even if you don't want to go, you must go to school. Yeah? And you go to college. Because yeah? If you get a degree as an engineer, or what else, a doctor or a lawyer, okay, you do your austerity, your dharma as a brahmachari, your austerity, dharma, and then what? Now you can earn good money, right? Dharma, artha. Then what do you do with the good money? Get a beautiful wife, you know, very talented, very creative, a nice car, a nice home residence, a nice place in society. Dharma, artha, kama. And finally, you're sick of it all, if you're intelligent enough, and you want out of it all, you want liberation, moksha. So this is very natural for every civilization. You'll see this really, anything more than beasts. Okay? Yeah. He gave more emphasis on dharma, artha, kama, moksha. These four items are by far inferior to engagement in the devotional service of the Lord. By far. Sri Vyasadeva, as the authorized scholar, knew very well this difference. And still, instead of giving more importance to the better type of engagement, namely devotional service to the Lord, he had more or less improperly used his valuable time, and thus he was despondent. How many fall downs are there in Srimad Bhagavatam? 2, 3, 10, 20? Everybody's falling down left, right, like that. Yeah, to show us all the problems. You know, sometimes people avoid it. You know. Dhruva Maharaj, he fell down and chopping all these rakshasas to pieces and stuff. Yeah. But then, okay, then we see the solution, we see the situation like that. So Vyasa, he had a problem. You know. So Krishna sends a representative and preaches Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus he was despondent. From this, it is clearly indicated that no one can be pleased substantially without being engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, this is clearly mentioned. After liberation, which is the last item in the line of performing religiosity, etc., you know, one is engaged in pure devotional service, right? After your liberated soul, at least some reasonable amount, you can start to catch some service, and that will increase your liberation. This is called the stage of self-realization or Brahma-bhuta. Brahma-bhuta, prasanatma, na sochati na kankshati, sama sarvesha bhuteshu magbhaktim labhyate param. Yeah. After attainment of the Brahma-bhuta stage, one is satisfied. Brahma-bhuta, prasanatma. So many times, if you know the verses, you see Prabhupada is paraphrasing this verse, paraphrasing that verse, paraphrasing this verse. And devotees, they say that, okay, Prabhupada quotes a verse. How many verses do you have to know so that there's a 75% chance you'll know that verse? 1,000 verses. Next verse Prabhupada quotes, how many verses do you have to know so that there's a 75% chance you'll know that verse?
100?
Yeah, devotees say 100, even a little less than 100, actually. So basically, maybe like something like about 70, again, about 75 verses, 80 verses really form the nucleus of all of our philosophy. You know those, and you have a very substantial idea, very beautiful cultured idea of our philosophy. So here Prabhupada is paraphrasing this verse. After attainment of this Brahma Buddha stage, one is satisfied, but satisfaction is the beginning of transcendental bliss. One should progress by attaining neutrality and equality in the relative world. And after passing this stage of equanimity, one is fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Nishta. This is the instruction of the personality of Godhead in the Bhagavad Gita. The conclusion is that in order to maintain the status quo of the Brahma-Bhuta stage, as also to increase the degree of transcendental realization, Narada recommended to Vyasadeva that he, Vyasa, should now eagerly and repeatedly describe the path of devotional service. This would cure him from gross despondency. So many questions or comments? Any complaints? Any donations? Yes, sir.
How, in our condition level, we can understand how much we are Brahma Bhuta Prasanna? How we can recognize ourselves in that level? Any stimulation?
It's just like anything, you know, some foreign concept. You come to Australia and they're talking about some word, you know, maybe kangaroo, you know, like that or something. You never heard of a kangaroo or Brahma-Bhuta, you never heard of it. What is it? So you start to investigate. Well, what are the symptoms? What are the characteristics? What does the word mean? A kangaroo is not like a snake. A kangaroo is not an automobile. Kangaroo is a, you know, oh, I remember I saw that in a movie one time. They hop and stuff and carry their babies in their pouches. I know the kangaroos. Then you can learn more about it. You know? So Brahma-Bhuta is describing this stage. The verse by itself says Brahma-Bhuta Prasanatma. You're happy. I'm never happy. Okay, not in the Brahma-Bhuta level. Brahma-Bhuta Prasanatma. Na sochati, na kankshati. This sochati is in the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, and he's lamenting. It goes through again and again. So he's always lamenting, oh, this happened, oh, that happened, oh, this happened, I wish I had done that, you know. Okay, you're also not in Brahma-Bhuta. You don't lament, and not kankshati. You're not hankering for this. Wow, this, I wish I had that to eat, I wish I had this car, I wish I had this relationship, No. Brahma-Bhuta Prasanatma, you're happy. You're satisfied with the way your life is and stuff, you know? You see progress and development. It's good. I'm in a good position now. In a very good position. And also a lot of opportunity for progress here. Right? Yeah. So are you on Brahma-Bhuta?
I don't think.
Oh, no.
Since I heard, But now Nishta, so Nishta come after Brahma-Bhuta.
Okay. Brahma-Bhuta, Prasanatma. It almost sounds like the same thing.
Almost same.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Three different words, same thing. Adoshvada, Sadhu Sangha, and Arta Nivritti. Nishta. Srimbatam, no, where's it going? Where's it going? We were chatting nice to keep. Oh boy. We chatted along every morning, pretty much. Srimbatam, where's it going? Anyway, a regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class, everything is
Nasta
Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttamashlake, Bhaktriya Bhavati Naishtiki. So Bhagavad Papa says this Naishtiki is Nishta. And he says, not that you're chanting your rounds sometimes, not chanting other times. So Prabhupada is basically saying chanting rounds nicely is Nishta. And he says, this is more or less 75% Krishna conscious. Okay, so something we're more advanced than we think we are in terms of things like that. So Nishta is where you're chanting your rounds all the time. You're getting up, you're following the process, you're engaging the Sankirtan movement. Okay. Nishta. And then? Ruchi. Yeah, you start to get a taste of Krishna consciousness. Not relief from material suffering, but now actually a positive taste of this. And then you become addicted. Asaktis. You know? You've got to have it. Doesn't matter what you got to do. Doesn't matter. You'll see you become an addict. You know? And then finally, Bhava. Yeah. So Prabhupada's describing Nishta here, yeah, and then something, there's Ruchi coming, you know, like that. Yeah.
But sometimes new beginners, devotee, could exhibit some quality as happy, as some all these symptoms, but after some time, he can do it again.
Yes, so okay. So this is all in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Dhanara Maharaj's explanation. So in the beginning, there is, what's it called, bhava, or this, you know, this Brahma-Bhuta stage, bhava-bhas. And we have nama-bhas. Before the sun comes up, there's light, and the snakes all go away, the robbers stop their things. So just like, you know, hit your hit your finger with a hammer and you say, oh, God damn it. Yeah. So the name of God is there. Somebody else may see something else, you know, like that, you know. Yeah. But yeah, so there's liberation just by that high idea is there. So that's namabhas. Bhavabhas is the same thing, but this experience of some kind of ecstasy, some kind of lamentation, you know. But it's bhavabhas. And it's not the real thing. It's the either two kinds, chaya, which is shadow, chaya, and the other one? Alambita? No. Chaya and something. A shadow or a reflection. And the shadow means more or less you're born in ISKCON, you grow up here, and you're a devotee, and you're chanting, and Jai Prabhu, and Hare Krishna. And yeah, you're experiencing some ecstasy. But it's just because you're in the shadow of Prabhupada and the movement like that and stuff. And many times I know people that grow up and they just, at some point they start to, you know, kind of come out of the shadow. Maybe they get a little older, 18 years old. And they start to like, you know, experiment. And some maybe go away and some actually start to go beyond bhavabhas and develop their own ecstasy in devotional service by intention. Another one, reflection, is when you're engaged in devotional service out of some material desire. Right? So one devotee I know, he wanted to have a son. His wife was pregnant. So he never before was on the altar, an Indian guy. Every day he was on the altar addressing the deities and worshiping them. And he got a daughter. He's still happy with her. It was okay, you know. But that was, he was just experiencing ecstasy and stuff. But the main motivation was a material motivation. You know? So the shadow bhavabhas may not be quite so crisp and clear, but it's less chance of falling down. Whereas the reflected is very precise and intense, but it's based upon these material desires. So it's very easy to commit offenses like that and so on. So somebody in the neophyte stage may also experience these things, but it's a reflection or a shadow of the real thing. Yeah? Okay. Yes, who? Yeah.
Harish, thanks for the great class. In terms of dharma, as explained, you know, like, in terms of karma kanda.
Okay. Everybody has to know, go now and fulfill their dharma.
This is good.
Yes. Dharma. Brahmachari dharma ki jai. Yeah.
In terms of like karma kanda, dharma is like independent of bhakti, but what about the real dharma of the bhakti process? What should be the supreme dharma for someone practicing and processing bhakti?
Does it go? Svaipum sam, this is one of the six questions by the sages. And the answer is Svaipum sam paro dharmo yato bhaktri hoksaje ahoitaki apratihata yayatma supertidati. The supreme dharma for all of humanity is that which brings one to uninterrupted and unmotivated devotional service. Yayatma supertidati, this alone will satisfy the self. So whatever our activities we have, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Hare Krishna, if it's actually progressing towards waking up our prema, that's the dharma. And of course, it can take many forms. In the age of Kali, of course, you know, Srila Prahlada Maharaj is recommending, of course, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smarana. And it's all over the world, his incarnations, expansions like that. Okay? Yeah. And one's very common, George Washington, right? He's the father of my country. Okay, like that. One of the good magazines called American Heritage, and he's had really good articles. It describes how George Washington died. Okay, he was out, he already retired. He was reading the newspaper about what his successors were doing and making some comments. And then he went out to take bring one of the slaves in, black guys who was sick in the big house, he could get proper medical care. He started developing some kind of fever and got worse. And finally, it's getting worse. And he's weak, older person, and people start to look at it. This looks like this could be it, you know. So he did different things like, you know, bloodletting and this and that. He adjusted his will. And finally he started getting worse and worse. So he started reading the Bible like that and so on. So finally when he went out hearing Krishna Katha, and this is not at all uncommon in really traditional American culture, or singing hymns right to the very end, you know. So whether it's like from the Bible or it's from the Quran or it's from the Mahabharata or the Bhagavatam, it all at least is going to take us to something. You know, where we have more access to Krishna and devotional service. Yeah. So it's all, you know, progressive. Yeah. Prabhupada said, we're not concerned with convincing people to cease being Muslims and becoming Hare Krishnas. You know, if you're not going to become, you know, sincere, better you stick with your path and be sincerely than take up somebody else's path insincerely. Yeah. So, it's okay?
Yeah. You're talking about all of the different classical, right,
all the different
literatures of the world.
World classical literature.
World classical literature.
Harry Potter, yeah. Okay. Lord of the Rings.
And, yeah, and so, basically, a lot of them, they're stories that portray kind of universal principles.
Yeah.
And the characters can be arbitrary because
Chinese,
just,
Oriental,
yeah,
American, Paul Bunyan.
But
yeah,
someone could say, well, then perhaps the personality of Krishna is arbitrary and it's really just the universal,
yeah,
principles behind it.
Yeah, yeah, it's a valid question at that point, mm, is it or not? But are you sincere in getting the answer?
Mm.
Are you asking the question to avoid progressing? There's the verse says, many people are looking for God, but most of them hope they don't find Him. If you find Him, then it's very great. I'm looking for God, everything else is great. You know? Yeah, but okay. You know, so, same way with us. You know, so. So yeah, if it's a sincere question, yeah, that's the next question.
Mm-hmm.
Varna Ashram Dharma is a part of the Virat Roop. This is what Carl Jung was actually experiencing, these archetypes and stuff, the princess, you know, the infallible hero who never fails, you know, always showing up. It doesn't matter, black culture, white culture, all over, things like that. And in dreams and stuff too, you know. So they're archetypes. You know. So it's part of the Virat Roop. Prabhupada says the highest material trap is Varna Ashram Dharma. Because everything is so nice. Chaste, good woman. You know, humorous sannyasi. A prosperous businessman. A chivalrous and heroic, you know, warrior. And everybody's, these things are like so gratifying and everything else. You know, and Prabhupada says you can only escape from this when you make friendship with a devotee. Right? So you come in contact with somebody who's connected to Krishna, like electric wire, and their personal relationships, and you understand this is not just stimulating my, you know, Varna Ashram Dharma, this is stimulating something very deep within me, which doesn't have anything to do with the time factor. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So direct experience. Socrates says the same thing. You've got to have direct experience to go beyond this logical level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You mean Prabhupada? Many people, when they saw Prabhupada, would go, oh my God. It's like, oh my God. Yeah. Who is that man? Yeah. I saw him, he wasn't walking on the floor. It was a common thing.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few people saw Prabhupada kind of floating on the ground, off the ground. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry, just a follow-up question.
Yeah,
is it why,
questions? Okay.
Like, in Bhagavad-gita, it says that sometimes, like, adversity strikes people, and then they kind of, like, wake up from this dream of, like, Varna Ashram Dharma, and then they become like friends with devotees of Krishna, and then,
yeah,
you know, they, is it like kind of like a divine arrangement by Krishna?
Well, yeah, I mean, Krishna's trying, from his side, Krishna's trying the best he can to get us back, because he wants us to get involved in all of his plans. He's got, make an example that Goloka is like a Disneyland that's about 15% finished, right? There's unlimited ideas for fun things we can do, and all these things playing, and, you know, and everybody needs to participate to make it a reality. So we're participating, but in a very indirect fashion. So Krishna really wants us to get back and stuff. He's trying from his side. And so from our side, we can also try. Yeah, yeah. And just, when we, yeah, it's more like than trying to go back to Godhead. It's more like trying to coordinate with Krishna's effort to get us back to Godhead. Like that. He's sending all these opportunities, and we miss them. No, it comes like that. Some big catastrophe comes. Person is more purified. Any religion, Christianity, everything else, they'll say, "Ah, this is God's arrangement." And if you look for it that way, you can say, "Yeah, it's okay." It's okay. Devotees in Cusco, right? One of the biggest tourist centers in the world. From there, you can actually influence the entire world. So many tourists come way up in the mountains. They had a very, very old restaurant, this building and stuff, and the owner wanted to change it into something else, maybe make more money. The devotees were fighting and legally and everything else, and they just couldn't hang on to it. And finally, they lost it, and just maybe about like two blocks away around the corner, they got a bigger place, cheaper rent, everything. It's like, I felt like Krishna was trying to tell them, let it go, I got a better idea for you. You know? So, so many times people, you know, Hanuman had the same experiences. You know? Sometimes these problems are not problems. You know, you look at them, this is Krishna's, you know, bigger benefit. Yeah. So it's a very, very nice section. And the thing is to enter into the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada said, I was trying to read all Prabhupada's books. You know, there's room conversations, lectures on Bhagavad Gita, lectures on Srimad Bhagavatam, letters, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, Krishna books. I was going to, you know, read them all and understand them all. And then two things. Prabhupada says, no disciple can take everything that the spiritual master is offering. Okay. And specifically, Prabhupada says, even in 100 years, you cannot read all these books thoroughly. Yeah. So, know a little bit about everything and a lot about one thing. So, go through Bhakti Bhai Bhava, Bhakti Vedanta, and go through the books. Look at them. Yeah. Different ways. And you find out which books are really stimulating and useful for you. Some people, they come right away. Chaitanya Charitamrita is totally useful for them. Other people, they need like Bhagavad Gita and simple, you know, square religious ideas. So many things like that. And probably it's a mixture. You know, some Bhagavad Gita, some Chaitanya Charitamrita, and you start to get your Krishna consciousness is increasing. You're more and more motivated and more effective in your service. Yeah. Right? It's not a matter of knowing. It's a matter of being able to apply it. Yeah, the texts. So, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai? Yeah. No pregunta?
No.
Yeah. I got Hare Krishna, back home, back to Godhead. This afternoon we'll be going to the university. Right? Yep. Get some education. Guru Prasad Swami told me a joke. This is maybe a GBC approved joke. Bubba and Weezer, this is like two era Texas kind of common name. Bubba and Weezer, they were going to go to the university. And they went to the professor, and Bubba went in first and said, well, what are we going to learn here, professor? Oh, it's very nice. You're going to learn English, literature, world history, and logic. And so then Bubba said, I know English literature a little bit and world history, but what's logic? He says, very interesting, professor said. He said, do you have a weed whipper? Right, these things, you know. And Bubba said, yes. And the professor said, therefore, by logic, I can tell you got a yard. And because you got a yard, I can tell you got a house. And because you got a house, I can tell you got a family. And because you got a family, I can tell you're heterosexual. Okay. So Bubba went out and Weezer said, what are we going to learn here? Well, English and history. And he said, well, logic. He said, what's logic? He said, it's very interesting. Have you got a weed whipper? He said, no. Therefore, I can tell you're a queer. So finish off a little GBC joke there. Okay. Hare Krishna. Anybody want to buy weed whippers?
Let's see one. I have one.
So I told this devotee in Boise, he was working in one of these appliance places. He said he sold about 20 weed whippers. That joke. And he gave me like a donation like that. So, yeah, I guess we better buy a weed whipper. Okay.
Wow.